on Sunday at 10 a.m. For more information, visit faithroguerver.org. You're listening to 94.3 The Bridge, your hometown voice.
Indeed. Alleluia. Amen. Easter greetings to you in the name of the Lord our God. Welcome to the Word of the Faith, which we proclaim. This is a divine service of the Word on KRRC 94.3, The Bridge. The broadcast of this divine service of the Word is brought to you by Faith Lutheran Church of Rogue River, Oregon, where services are held on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. The announced hymns are from a hymnal used in those services. The order of service begins on page 184 of the hymnal. There will be more on how you may receive a copy of this hymnal following the conclusion of this service of the Word. We are now in that wonderful and blessed season of the church year known as Easter, the season in which we hear the proclamation of the resurrection of our Lord. With Easter Sunday, the singing of the Glory Be to God on High, that is the Gloria in Excelsis, and also the singing of Hallelujah returns. May this broadcast be a blessing to you. We'll begin in a moment. Grant that we may worship you in spirit and in truth. We humbly pray that you would open our hearts to the proclamation of your word, so that we may repent of our sins, believe in Jesus Christ as our only Savior, and grow in grace and holiness. This we ask in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hymn 474, Alleluia, Jesus is risen, 474.
the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity.
It is like the precious oil on the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes.
It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity.
You.
Let us pray. O God, through the humiliation of your Son, you raised up the fallen world. Grant to your faithful people, rescued from the peril of everlasting death, perpetual gladness and eternal joys, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The first reading for the third Sunday of Easter is from Acts chapter 2. Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, Brothers, what shall we then do? And Peter said to them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children, and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words he bore witness, and continued to exhort them, saying, Save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. This is the word of the Lord. Christ has risen from the dead. God the Father has crowned him with glory and honor. He has given him dominion over the works of his hands. He has put all things under his feet. The epistle is from 1 Peter chapter 1. If you call on him as Father, who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in these last times for your sake, who, through him, are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him, and he said to them, What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk? And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days? And he said to them, What things? And they said to him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, Some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken! Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, saying, Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent. So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took the bread, and blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. Then they told what happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Our confession of the Christian faith is the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell. So there he is, rose again from the dead. He ascended.
Hymn 507, Holy, 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 507.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The Gospel reading for today takes us back to that first Easter Sunday. The early morning events are now over. Most of Jesus' disciples are back in Jerusalem, in a house with the doors locked for fear of the Jews. The afternoon sun is approaching the horizon as two disciples are walking on the earthen road out of Jerusalem. As they leave the city that kills the prophets and stones those sent by the Lord God, they speak to one another about the latest victim. Emmaus is where their house is located, and as they plod along, Cleopas and the other disciple talk about all that has happened, both the historical facts about the betrayal, trials, condemnation, crucifixion, death, and burial of Jesus, and the word-of-mouth reports concerning angels and the empty tomb. Their hopes for the redemption they sought had centered in this Jesus, a prophet of Nazareth, who was mighty in deed and word before both God and man. Thus these two spoke as they trudged away from the cross and away from the tomb. Somewhere along the way, a stranger comes to them and joins them in their lonely, sad, hopeless, confusing, grief-stricken death march. Now, we know that this was Jesus, but they didn't. The stranger asks them what they were talking about, and the two Emmaus disciples answer by stopping their walk and looking sad. Cleopas asks the stranger if he is the only one who doesn't know what's going on with all these things happening. This stranger, who is indeed really the only one who does know what is going on, responds with a catechism-type question, "What things?" The Emmaus disciples relay their hopes and fears, hopes that have been dashed by the humiliation of Jesus, fears that have risen in their hearts and minds. Then it was that the Lord spoke to them and led them to the divine service at Emmaus. The Gospel reading once again. And the stranger said to them, "O foolish men, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He appeared to be going further, but they constrained him, saying, "Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished out of their sight. Thus far the word of the Lord our God. This text surprises us in several ways because things seem backwards. For example, these two disciples are down, sad, confused, disappointed, and rather hopeless at this point. So what sort of word would we expect Jesus to say to them? Would it be a word of understanding and encouragement that builds up, or a word of law that condemns, points out sin, exposes unbelief, and confronts them? Well, listen to what Jesus says. "O foolish men, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." In the midst of this world, in which you see tragedy, when you hear of hurts, where you experience grief and, as a result, begin to question the plan of God and doubt his ability to carry it out, I say that you are acting like foolish men. You have hearkened your ears to the voices within you and within the world which beckon you to believe in and trust a theology of glory. You seek the high road of making God into your image and according to your likeness, and in doing so, you have rejected the theology of the cross and all the scriptures that have pointed to it. You love to hear the silver-tongued words of television evangelists who entertain and fleece, and you place yourself under the burden of yourself as you attempt to abide by the rantings of motivational speakers and church growth advocates who tell you you simply have to have more faith and bear more fruit and give more offerings to show your faith. And in doing so, you cast aside all that the Holy Writ declares concerning the good news. O foolish men, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. The second surprise is that after such an exposing declaration of the truth by Jesus, we are not sent into the outer darkness where men weep and gnash their teeth. Well, dear disciples on the road of life, Jesus didn't do that. The children now sit up in their pews, and with their eyes and ears they ask the question, "Well, what happened next?" Well, permit me to tell you. The stranger catechizes or teaches the two Emmaus disciples. He asks them a question just like we do in catechism class. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? Now, that is an easy question because it's either a yes or a no answer, and you have a 50-50 chance of getting it right. But just to make sure you don't get the wrong answer, let's let the kid in class, who always has the right answer, speak first, and then we can agree. But the stranger makes the catechetical question even easier, because he asked it in such a way as to get the correct answer of yes. Surely it was necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory, wasn't it? Do you want to answer it now? Well, the Bible does not record any response from Cleopas and the other disciple, so maybe it was one of those questions that was asked that the pastor did not want anyone in catechism class to answer, so perhaps it's better to wait. Maybe it was a rhetorical question, and the stranger was going to use it as a springboard for the answer that he was looking for. And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Wow, dear redeemed, do you realize what Jesus has just said? Right, it was a rhetorical question. The stranger was telling them that the Old Testament is a Christ book, and that the plan of salvation was to be accomplished by the suffering servant who would be Emmanuel, conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the virgin named Mary, suffered, crucified, died, was buried. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? Yes, it was. And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he, the stranger, interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. From Genesis 3:15, where the promised Savior would be the seed of the woman, to Malachi 4, verse 2, when the Son of Righteousness comes. From Moses, through all the prophets in the Old Testament, the stranger told them that these holy words of God testified to and bore witness to the Christ of God. There is no doubt that Jesus related Psalm 22 with its, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And Isaiah 53 with its, and the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. The Old Testament leads us to behold the Son of God, to see the Savior of the world, to hear of Job's Redeemer, and to walk the road to Bethlehem. Here on the road to Emmaus was the divine service of the written word given by the incarnate word. As they journeyed with Jesus, he led them in a confirmation class by teaching them about himself. The word has been proclaimed, and thus far, the divine service of the word. The shadows of the day lengthened as the distance to Emmaus shortened. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He appeared to be going farther, but they constrained him, saying, "Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." Having had their eyes opened by this stranger that Jesus of Nazareth is the Messiah promised in the Old Testament, that the firstborn son of Mary is the Christ of God written of by Moses and all the prophets, the Emmaus disciples urged him to stay. "Abide with us, fast falls the eventide." So he went in to stay with them. Then something happens that surprises us. It is not surprising that either the disciples invited the visitor to an evening meal and a night's sleep, or that the visitor would accept the invitation. Those were completely normal and very much expected. it is something else that surprises us. And the children sit up in the pews and ask, "What is it that is so surprising?" Just this, dear children of God. Jesus enters the house as the guest of the people, and suddenly the guest becomes the host. He takes upon himself the responsibility as the host by taking the bread and saying the blessing. Jesus is the head of this household, and he is now serving them. The world of Christendom has often gotten this all backwards. Far too many pastors and parishioners think that they go to church built with hands in order to just serve the Lord, to just praise the Lord, to just let him know how much we love him, to just be a congregation doing things, a congregation of the law. In the real church, we come in to hear the word of law and gospel, to be taught in the faith, to hear everything that he has done for us, and if we are thus prepared, we are invited to partake of the Holy Supper. Order is important. The teaching of the word must come first. After that, the sharing of the meal takes place. The order is word and sacrament, not sacrament and word. The order is scripture and supper. It is catechesis and Eucharist. To be prepared for the Lord's Supper, a person must learn of the Word in order to be ready to eat of the body and blood of the Lord, and to declare publicly, "This is what I believe." That is why our children go to confirmation class before coming to the Lord's Supper. That is why we offer at Faith Lutheran Church here in Rogue River confirmation or teaching classes for our visitors before they come to communion. We want everyone to come to the Holy Supper, and in order that they may do so, knowing why they are coming and what they hope to receive, it is necessary to teach the Word to them. We do have confirmation classes for adults, and if you would like to begin this instruction for membership in the congregation and attendance at the Lord's Supper, please let us know. Within the house of God at Emmaus, the guest named Jesus, the one who came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many, has become the host. Having heard the word, the disciples are ready for the meal. Therefore, when Jesus was at table, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. At that moment, God granted a special revelation to them. Up until that point, the eyes of faith had been prevented from recognizing Jesus. Then it was, when Jesus was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them, and their eyes were opened and they recognized him. He who taught them that Christ is risen opened their eyes to the truth that he is risen indeed. As Jesus is recognized in the breaking of bread, the certainty of God with us is given. The Lord Jesus reveals himself in the breaking of bread, and the faith of his disciples responds with, "This is most certainly true." Then we are surprised once again when we hear that their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he vanished out of their sight. The moment he is recognized, he vanishes. Then the children sit up in the pew and ask, "What does this mean?" This blessed truth, with the sin-atoning death on Good Friday and his death-defying resurrection on Easter, the old Passover is over, and the day of the New Testament has commenced. At the divine service at Emmaus, the disciples behold the real presence and the visible disappearance of Jesus, and this signals the advent of the continuing celebration of the Lord's Supper, where and when Jesus is present and yet unseen. The disciples at the divine service at Faith Lutheran Church are called and privileged to recognize, with their eyes of faith opened and beholding Jesus, that he is truly present whenever we break this bread and drink this cup. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen. We continue with the singing of the offertory, "Let Us Stand."
Amen.
us pray. O Father of the risen Christ, in your Son's appearance to the Emmaus disciples, he explained the Scriptures and revealed himself in the breaking of the bread. Grant us grace that we, too, may perceive him as our Savior through his word, and rejoice to receive him as the bread of life for the salvation of our souls in the supper. By these gifts of word and sacrament, renew our piety this Eastertide, that we may grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. Indeed, dear Heavenly Father, your Son is victor over death and the grave. Strengthen us during this Easter season to believe and live from the good news that even as he has triumphed over death and the grave, so shall all who place their trust in him. Lord of the nations, you have established good government to provide for our daily bread. Bless, direct, and guide the leaders of our city, state, and nation, that they may rightly wield the sword of justice, defend those who cannot defend themselves, and hear the cries of all who are in any need. Make us instruments of peace as we live a life of fervent love for all of our neighbors, and tell the good news of salvation to those whom you have placed in our daily vocations. Kind Father, according to your great mercy, you have caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of your Son from the dead. Keep us steadfast in the hope of the inheritance that cannot fade, that is imperishable, and that is kept in heaven for us, and give us a steadfast faith as we wait for the final resurrection of all flesh. All-loving One, in your Son's ministry, he brought healing to many with diseases and damaged bodies. Bless, comfort, and sustain all those who have requested our prayers. Grant that they may look to you in every need, draw comfort from your abiding word, and daily rejoice in the good news that Christ has died, that Christ is risen, and that he will come again. O source of endless life, we thank you for the faithful who have gone before us and are with Christ. Bring us with them to share in the joys of the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting, that we may join in the eternal worship of the Lamb and ever cry, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain and lives." Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord, who has taught us to pray together.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Hymn 527, O Savior, Precious Savior, 527.
Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. Once again, this broadcast of the Divine Service of the Word is brought to you by Faith Lutheran Church of Rogue River, Oregon, where services are held at 10 a.m. on Sunday mornings. As mentioned at the beginning, the announced hymns are from a hymnal titled Lutheran Service Book that are used in those services. You may request a hymnal and make arrangements for receiving a free copy of one by telephoning 541-582-0457. This hymnal is made available free of charge. If you're some distance away, you may order the hymnal over the internet. As mentioned, services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday mornings, and if you're in the area, you're invited to attend. We're located at 8582 Rogue River Highway in Rogue River, Oregon. And please, let others know about our radio station, KRRC 94.3, The Bridge, and the broadcast of this program, The Word of the Faith. The peace of the Lord be with you.